Hey, you need it in the usher meeting too. You need it in the greeter meeting. You just don't know. We want to base everything that we do on this book because we don't believe it's just some ancient book that is irrelevant for today like some people do. Let me tell you something. I read through here. In fact, I teach young people. I was back in North Carolina when I was teaching young people. I got to talking about the sexual area. And I began to pull some things out of here. And man, their eyes got really big. They didn't know God knew all that. They thought God didn't know anything about sex. And they found out God knew a whole lot more than they thought he did. God hasn't been in the closet, has he? Man, God knows what's going on. He's been dealing with these things for thousands of years, and he understands them. And so, boy, you should have seen their eyes get really big. And some of the words that came out of the Bible, you know, not slang words, but they were just, you know, words that kids didn't realize the Bible talked about. And we just went after it. Well, let's flip over to the fourth chapter of the book of Mark. Did you miss it? I bet you got some of it, didn't you? David told me that he was by there. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to get out of this chapter pretty soon, but not before we receive everything that the Lord wants to teach us this time around. How many of you know there's a lot in here that we haven't even touched yet? And the Lord hasn't opened our eyes to it. Man, I tell you what, it seems like every time you go to this book, there's more to it than there was the time before. Isn't that right? Okay, Mark chapter 4. Let's start reading from the 13th verse. Mark 4:13. Tone me down just a little bit. I'll just try to speak up, Jeff. Thanks. Verse 13, it says, "And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Now, what did he say there? He said, this is the key parable. This is the granddaddy. This unlocks some truths that will help you understand all of the other parables of the Bible. And we found out that to be true in just all the principles that it brings out. Now, verse 14, the sower sows the word. Somebody tell me who the original sower is. God, right? And God sows his word. So the seeds that the original parable that Jesus talked about was mentioning or defining is the word of God. In other words, the Bible, scriptures. This is the word of God. These are the seeds that God sows into our hearts. And he does that by people teaching us. He does that by us reading, by us hearing, memorizing, meditating, all those ways. Any way that the word gets into your heart, through your eyes and your ears are the two primary gates. Isn't that right? Sometimes it can get into your heart by your mind if you just remember something. The Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance something that Jesus said. Well, then get back down in your heart that way too, right? But primarily your eyes and ears is the way that God sows his word into your heart. Now, these are the ones, verse 15, by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear the word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, what? Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But, don't you like that but? That's my favorite but in the Bible, right there. But these are the ones, one of my favorites actually. I got a lot of favorite buts in the Bible. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let me just do just a couple of minutes of review because we've been on this for, about 3 or 4 months. We've been talking about this. So let me just in a couple of minutes do a little bit of review just to catch people up that weren't here. Jesus says this is a very key parable to understanding the way that the kingdom of God operates. And he says, here's how it works. The kingdom of God works in this way. Somebody will teach or preach the word, God's word, his good news out of the Bible, these scriptures. It will come into people's ears and into their heart. Now, people receive it at different levels. Some people it'll go in one ear and out the other. Okay, and that's the wayside. That's verse 15. It says, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So we can see readily that God is on one side of this picture trying to get his word into our hearts so that we can reap a harvest in our lives. The devil is on the other side of this thing. He's trying to get God's word out of our hearts so that it doesn't produce. So you can see that God and Satan are on opposite terms here. And they have two completely different strategies. God is trying to get the word into your heart and keep it in your heart. The devil's trying to get it out because he knows if the word stays in your heart, it grows up. It won't just sit there. It'll grow. And if it grows, he's got a problem. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. He's got a big problem. And how many of you know it's a lot easier to deal with that in seed form than it is after it becomes an oak tree? Isn't that right? We can pull that thing out in seed form quickly. And so that's why when somebody tells somebody else of the love of Jesus and preaches the gospel, shares something out of the word with somebody, it goes into their heart. If the devil can get them to discount it, discredit it, and not receive it right away, it's so much easier for him than if they receive it down in their heart and let it grow. Because when it begins to grow, they become solid in their life, and then they'll get up and they'll stand against everything that the enemy has tried to bring against their life. They'll make a turnaround in their life and they'll say, Satan, you get out of my life. I'm not going that way. God wants to bless me. God wants to love me. God wants to minister to me. That's what I'm going to get. See, so he can't take it as easily when it begins to grow up. So we find out that he comes in other ways. If you're not like verse 15, then maybe you're like verse 16 and 17, where this person said, no, I'm not going to let him take it. So he says, I receive it. I believe God's word. And you plant it down in your heart. You take it down. But you only endure for a little while. Because the devil brings persecution and tribulation for what? The word's sake. He brings people problems. Isn't that right? You've had those, haven't you? Even since we've been talking about those, you've had those. Did you remember that it was in here? In North Carolina, I told you that I taught the adults and the youth while I was there. I taught 10 times a week and to adults and youth. They had just had me do both tracks. So I'd run from one. I'd just get done with the adults and I'd run over and they'd just finish worship with the youth and I'd just jump up right up on the stage and I'd teach the youth a completely different series. Well, with the adults, we did this series, The Sower Sows the Word. We had four sessions, so we just had to jam all 4 months of this into four. There's supposed to be about an hour-long session. They extended a little bit longer than an hour. I really appreciate those guys that taught after me because they were really lenient with me, and they said, no, no, keep going, and they were nice. But it was really interesting that I got an email the second week that I was there from somebody, one of those pastors that was there in the first week. And he said, oh, you were right. As soon as I got home, persecution, and he just told me the whole story about what happened. He said, man, as soon as I got home, the devil brought persecution and tribulation, but I knew why it was coming, and I didn't let him steal the word. Isn't that good? See, that's the way we need to be. We need to be very cautious that we're not oblivious or that we don't forget about what happens in this process. That we don't get distracted and think that, well, Andrea, I can't believe she looked at me like that, treats me. And can you believe, after all that I've done for her and been so nice to her, and she does that. See, you get all bent out of shape at somebody because they did something, forgetting why persecution comes. The enemy stirs that up. And that's why the Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. In other words, our problem is not people. But we do wrestle with principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual way. How many of you know your problem is not your husband or your wife? Even though they look like it sometimes. Isn't that true? How many of you know if they're not the problem, they disguise themselves well. Isn't that right? Because they're wearing the problem mask. They look just like it. It's true, isn't it? But the Bible says that's not the case. They are not the problem. There is somebody else involved here stirring these people up and stirring other things. Tribulation, that's hard times. So if the devil can't get you to just discount the word or not hear it or let go of it quickly or just get distracted and not pay any attention to it so that he can steal it right away. But if you receive it into your heart, he'll have to stir up persecution and tribulation against you. Then you'll forget about it and you get all bent out of shape. This dumb car, and why do we even buy this thing? That guy that sold it to me, here you go, right? Tribulation. You forgot all about why it's coming. See, why is it coming? It's coming to get these principles out of your heart. You forget about it. He says, thank you very much. Pulls it out of your heart. You're oblivious. You don't understand the process, see? This is the way this thing works. Well, but if you're hard-headed and you won't let those tribulations and persecutions get to you and you say, well, I'm not worried about it. God's going to supply all of my needs. No, I thank God He's going to fight my battles for me. He's going to make sure that I don't, that these people that are saying things and being unfair and saying negative things against me, God's going to make sure that He maintains my right and fights my cause. Isn't that right? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'm not worried. I'm not going to defend myself. Thank God I'm just going to keep meditating on His Word. And see, if you're hard-headed like that, and you're just going to stay on God's Word and say, no, God's going to take, thank God, He's going to do what He said. I'll come out on top. Well, then the devil has to come with another strategy. Notice verses 17 and 18. He comes with this strategy of three other things, but these things are not external, like persecution and tribulation. These things are internal. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things. Well, desires for other things, that just means you're distracted. You can get off on an attraction with somebody and just get distracted. You can get off into boats or cars or anything else. You just get so distracted and desiring something other than God and His Word that you just get you've got a new hobby. You know, some guys get into, when I say guys, I'm talking about anybody, gets into things that are good, but they get too deep into them and don't have time for God and His Word anymore. You can get so into exercise. I've seen people get so into exercise, they don't have time for God, don't have time to come to church anymore. They've got to stay in shape. See, that's an extreme, isn't it? We can get out of balance here. Well, some of you think that I've got that extreme. And I don't. I mean, you shouldn't have laughed at that. All right. Cares. Notice the verse 19. Cares. That's worry. One of the things that the devil uses to choke the word in your heart is worry. You worry about things. You worry about money. You worry about friends. You worry about your kids. You worry about your job. And that worry just chokes the word. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to believe God's promises, right? Why does that worry come? Notice, it chokes the word. That's why you're worrying. Because the enemy's speaking to your mind, saying, yeah, but what if this happens? You know what's going to, I tell you what's going to happen. This is going to happen, and that's going to, and you're going to lose this, and people are going to start saying this, and here we go, right? And you start thinking about that. Why is that coming? Choke the word. Chokes the word. Well, deceitfulness of riches. Notice it didn't say riches. Money's not the problem. Did you know that? Somebody said, well, money's the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money. Isn't that right? And here it doesn't say riches choke the word. It says the deceitfulness of riches. There are people that don't have a dime committing the love of money, the sin of the love of money, and committing or falling into the deceitfulness of riches because they're deceived into thinking if they just had more money, it would solve their problems. That's not the truth, is it? I could be happy. Our marriage would work if we had more. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. The biggest problem in your marriage is you. Right? Not money. It's you. We could put $1 million there and your marriage would be happy for about a year or two. The money's gone. Guess what? You're still there. Right? You're still in. See, it's not the money that's the answer. No. It's that we've got to receive from God His direction in our lives, and His direction will always put us over. Always bring us out on top. Well, then we come down to verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. That's us. Isn't that right? That's us. Now notice this. Who accept the word and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now let me ask you this. Are there any farmers that plant seeds that they don't want to grow up? No. In fact, while I'm teaching back in North Carolina, a guy came up to me and said, I'm a farmer. I said, really? You know? And I believed him. I looked at him. You look like a farmer. He said, I am. I'm a farmer. He said, let me tell you something about farmers. He said, we study to find out what the best seed is. We don't want junk seed in our ground. We want good seed in our ground because we want it all to come up. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, that's just like what you're talking about. I said, isn't that something? Jesus knows something about farming. Now notice what Jesus said. These are the ones sown on good ground, those who receive 30, 60, and 100. Let me put that in a different term so you can see what Jesus is saying. These are the people that He considers good ground. People that have 70% of the word not working in their life. people who have 40% not working, and then people who have zero not working, in other words, 100%. 30-fold means 70-fold's not working, didn't grow up. Isn't that right? But aren't you glad Jesus called 30-fold good ground? If you're bearing any fruit from the Word, He calls you good ground. You see that also in John 15 where it says that the vine dresser comes to the vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. He said, any branch that's in me that does not bear fruit, zero, then He said, God cuts them off. Just chops you off. Bye. But any branch that bears any amount of fruit, He said, He prunes you so that you may bear more fruit, right? God wants us to bear the maximum amount of fruit in our lives. God wants you to have a blessed life, not a bad life. He loves you. So He's always going to be pruning on you, working on you. That's why He's got to get more of the Word of God in you so that you can flourish in His Word and in your life. So if 70% of your prayers, if we just put it like that, 70% of your prayers are not being answered, God's not answering 70% of your prayers, thank God for that 30, because He still calls you good ground. But don't be satisfied with it, because God wants you to get to the place where you're praying according to His will, and you've got His Word coming up in your heart, a mighty harvest of it, to where 100% of the things you pray for come to pass. And somebody says, is that possible? You better believe it is. Jesus did it, didn't He? He did it, didn't He? We don't see Him praying prayers and then, hey, God, how come that didn't happen? No, He prayed. It would happen, wouldn't it? And see, Jesus said this, most assuredly, John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, the works that I do will you do also, and on top of that, greater works. I hear people arguing about what the greater works are. Well, let's just do the things that He did first. He said, the works that I do will you do also. We can't even get those done. Arguing about what the greater works are. Let's just do what He did. Now, good ground, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Let's go on here. Well, this is still review. Verse 21, Jesus did not change subjects. He's still talking about the Word. And He says, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Now, some people think, you know, they read that and they see that there's a break there, like a paragraph, and there's a heading in some of your Bibles, and so they think, well, Jesus switched subjects. You know, He's talking about the Word, and all of a sudden He says, oh, and by the way, if you guys ever go to buy a lamp. Well, that's not what He's talking about, is it? He's not talking about buying lamps and what you should do. When you get your lamp home, don't put it under the bed because, you know, you can start a fire there. That's not what He's talking about. He's not talking about lamps, is He? He's still talking about the Word, the Bible, the Scripture. And so He says, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? How many of you remember that Psalm 119, 105 says, your Word is a what? Lamp to my feet and light to my path. The 130th verse says this, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, what does that mean about the lamp and the light? It means if you don't know what to do and you're facing a situation where you don't have the answers, God's Word will be a light and show you where the path is that you should take. Somebody said, how could a book that's thousands of years old show me what I should do today? You don't know much about this book, do you? See, this is not just some book that you go to the store, you know, just like any other book. No, these are living words. These words are alive. And I'm telling you, I've seen it happen over and over and over, where the Lord will just, through His Word, just you'll just know. You'll say, I know what I need to do. Just by being in God's Word. It'll brighten up your path. Show you things. Sometimes it'll show you things that you didn't want to see. Show you things that you're doing wrong. No, God, I don't want that one. I want a verse for my wife. You look over somewhere else and you'll see something about you. Ah, you know. No, I'm telling you, it'll happen all the time. These words are alive, and God will, He'll just brighten it up and show you what to do. Amen. Now, so He says, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? What is He saying? He's saying God did not bring this Bible into the world to hide it from people. I hear some people that say, well, I just don't think you can understand the Bible. No, God didn't bring this into the world to hide it from you. This is His heart. This is His word. These are insights to how the whole world operates. And He didn't bring it here to hide it. He brought it to set up on a lampstand so that everybody can see the truth. For, verse 22, there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. In other words, God said, I've never said anything that I didn't want people to understand. Now, how many of you know in the Old Testament that there were mysteries that were locked up, and then they were unlocked in the New Testament? But we're in the New Testament, aren't we? Man, this is the day. This is the day when Jesus said, man, God wants to show you everything. He wants to show you how it works. So what does that mean? Look at verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. If you've ever seen somebody in the kingdom, if you've ever seen a believer that was effective and successful in their life because of the principles of God, then you have seen your potential. Because there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. God will show you how to do that. Somebody said, well, I'm just not as spiritual as them, or I'm just not as smart as them, or I'm just not as godly or as perfect. Hey, they weren't either. And they're not as perfect as you think they are. They're not as perfect as they look anyway. Isn't that right? That's exactly right. We have 5 Life Bible College intern girls living with us right now. They've been with us for a couple of months, and just all we have is a couple weeks left. I'm a little sad about it, to tell you the truth. But, you know, I mean, they're right there in the house. So, you know, they probably came in thinking, oh, man, Pastor Jerry and Pastor Kim, and they're, you know, one. And then they get in there. They live in our house with us. And they're probably thinking, how many more days, you know? There is nobody that's perfect, is there? But aren't you glad that God's word will work for regular, ordinary human beings that have messed up and have fallacies and have irritations and idiosyncrasies? Aren't you glad about that? See, God's word will work. And God wants it to work. And notice He said, if anybody has ears to hear, it doesn't matter what you've been through, you can start right now and open up your ears to hear what God's saying to you. And God says, I'll take my word and I'll light your path up so you'll know where to go from here. I don't know about you, but I like that. I like that. Now, verse 24. Then He said to them, take heed what you hear. Well, why did He say that? Well, we just read over there that if you don't take heed to it, the devil's going to steal it. Mm-hmm. Right? Take heed what you hear. With the same measure that you use, it'll be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now, let me share 2 things. First of all, take heed what you hear. When you hear the word, don't just walk away and say, yeah, it was a blessing tonight. Wasn't that a blessing tonight? It was a blessing tonight. No, no. On purpose, think about, Lord, what are you saying to me there? What can I adjust to be in line with this so that the blessings that are in there and the promises that are in that passage flow to me? How do I keep this? James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, coming to church and just being a hearer but not walking out and doing the principles is a self-deception because you have the feeling like you're doing God's will, but you just never get around to doing it. It's a self-deception. Now let me tell you something else too. Jesus is also saying here, take heed what you hear. In other words, one translation says, pay attention to what you're hearing. Now that goes for the word, but that also goes for everything else that you're hearing. You better watch out what you're hearing. Why? Because things that get in your heart that don't agree with God's word choke the word. See? This is what the Lord taught me way back when I was just about 20 years old. Might have been 19, might have been 20, 21, right in that. The Lord opened my eyes to this whole passage and He began to say, part of your problem to me, part of your problem is what you've allowed into your ears. You've allowed philosophies into your ears and ideas into your ears that really get you. They choke out the word. Now, let me give you an example of that. How many of you know, and I know I'm not talking to teenagers here, but I like to bring this up when I'm talking to teenagers. In fact, before I go into my sexual purity talk, because I'm pretty pointed in that talk, I always ask the teenagers this. I say, how many of you at your schools pretty much every single day, you hear other young people talking about sexual things in a non-Christian or an ungodly way. Man, I'm telling you, everybody's hands goes up at least 90% every time. Because the high school campuses today are very crude. They're talking, I asked them this too. How many of you feel like your parents would be totally flabbergasted and shocked if they came and spent a couple of days at your high school and they get these big grins and they're looking at each other talking, they're raising their hands, and they're saying, my parents have no clue what it's like at my school. And see, I know that. I realize that. And the reason I do that is for all the parents that are there so the parents don't think that I'm introducing their kids to something. I'm not. Boy, the world introduces that whole lifestyle and that whole drive that sex is the thing. That's the end thing. Well, it's not satisfying, though, is it? Not that it's not pleasurable, but it doesn't satisfy all of the needs that our hearts have. That doesn't solve all the problems. Now, here's something that the Lord pointed out to me. Back in high school, this happens all the time, and I ask kids this. I'll say, how many of you know people in school that can't even have a sentence, can't even say a sentence, or can't even talk, just go through a paragraph, without double meanings in the sexual way? You understand what I'm talking about? And I mean, you could just say, you'd be standing around with your friends and say, hey, I'm going to run down the store and get a loaf of bread. You know, and you're, what? What? You know, how many of you know? And I intentionally picked a loaf of bread because I cannot figure out how a loaf of bread would have anything to do with anything. Okay? But I'm just telling you that it seems like you can't say anything except that, you know, and everything. You know why? Because their minds are full of perversion, full of sex. So everything's got a double meaning. Okay? Well, when you're in school, like when I was in school, you fall into that really easy. And your mind begins to think like what you hear all the time. And so it's always just little sexual comments, always. Little jokes. And how many of you know a large percentage of the funnies out there, whether they're jokes or just funny comments, are sexual comments, right? Isn't that true? You can't hardly listen to a comedian on television without having a lot of sexual comments. Well, here's something that the Lord opened up to me. Because I was seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't want to be under the bondage of lust. I don't want to be in that. And he said, check what's been going into your heart. Check what's been going into your ears and down. Well, see, I didn't want all of that in my heart. If somebody said, do you want a bunch of perversion and sexual thoughts in your heart? No, I don't want any of that. But how many of you know all you got to do is hang around with people that talk like that? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Isn't that right? I found this out. You can have counsel of the ungodly in church. Doesn't mean that the people are not believers and saved, Christians, but they can talk things that are not in line with God's word. Isn't that true? Christians can give you counsel of the ungodly. And the Lord began to deal with me. Let me show you a couple of verses on that, since the Holy Spirit led us this direction. I didn't intend to get into this. Let's look first of all at Proverbs chapter 4. This is one of the passages that the Lord opened up to me as a young person. I tell you what, I wanted to be right with God so bad. My heart wanted to be so pure and so right before the Lord, and yet I was struggling with my flesh. I was dealing with my flesh, and I just hated that my flesh would drag me, like Paul would say in Romans chapter 7, my flesh seemed to drag me out of the will of God, to do things that I didn't want to do, to think things that I didn't want to think. And man, I'd just go to God, and I lived in Psalm 51, which is the psalm that David wrote after he had that affair with Bathsheba. And he comes to God and created me a clean heart and don't take your Holy Spirit away from me and cast me not away from your presence and all that. See, I didn't realize that I was the righteousness of God in Christ back then. I didn't know. So I'm in there crying with King David. Yeah, you know, created me a clean heart. He already did. I was born again. Amen. Right? Renew a right spirit with it. Well, I'm saved. I'm born of incorruptible seed, by the way. See, but you can't live in Psalm 51 and have victory. No, we've got something better than that, don't we? But see, back then I didn't know it. I didn't know the truth. The word hadn't come And growing up, now I'd heard righteousness preached a little bit before, not much, but a little bit. Somebody'd mention it every once in a while, but see, it didn't take root and grow up. So see, it didn't do me any good. It got choked out, and there it went. Didn't even know about it. Does that make sense? Do you understand? Now, this is one of the passages that the Lord helped me with. Verse 20, Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. Well, that's good right there, isn't it? Give attention, that's time. Give attention to my words. That's what you're doing tonight. You've taken time out of your schedules to give attention to God's words. Give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Notice, incline your ears. Why? Because your ears will not naturally go that direction. You've got to incline and force them to hear. You've got to get yourself to church. You've got to get into the Word. Do not let them, my words, depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Can you see that? Now notice this. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. I like that, don't you? But what's the key? Keeping the words in the middle of your heart. How do you do that? Keeping them in your eyes, keeping them in your ears, giving your attention to it. In other words, don't let anything in your eyes and ears that are going to choke the word out. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel. See, it's not the walking that gets you. It's the words while you're walking. Do you understand? It's not standing next to somebody that's not a believer that hurts you. It's not the, oh, I'm in the presence of an, well, big deal. It's not going to hurt you. It's not rubbing shoulders with him. It's what's going into your heart. That's what's going to get you. Jesus said, it's not what comes out of the body, out of the man that defiles him, but it's what goes in. Or actually, it's not. He said not what goes in by drinking physically, but it's what comes out, right? Now, think about this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you allow into your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth and defile you. See? Now, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now notice this next verse. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart. See, this is a father writing to a son. Basically, he says, my son, stay with the word. Keep your heart. Whatever you do, son, protect your heart. Don't let people speak things into your heart that you don't want to grow up and be produced in your life. Don't listen to them. Don't allow it to go into your... You hang around with people that are talking that stuff will come out in your life. You've got to keep your ears from that, son. Keep your ears with the word. Son, keep your eyes from looking at other things, at people and things that are ungodly. Don't look at it. And that's physically, you know, that would deal with pornography and that whole extreme. That would also be the viewpoint, the way that they see things. That's the counsel of the ungodly. Their perspective, worldly philosophies, right? A viewpoint. Son, don't see it that way. See it God's way. This is the true way to see it. See, and how do you do that? Protect your heart. Protect your heart. Keep the word in your heart. Now look at the next verse. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Put perverse lips where? Far from you. Now, notice he didn't say whose lips they are. If they're your lips, then get that far from you. Don't talk that anymore. If they're somebody else's lips, get their lips far from you. But whatever you do, don't let people that talk perversity near your ears. Why? It'll go in there. And what'll happen? Those words will be seeds that go down in your heart. That's going to grow up. How many of you know there aren't many places to hang around with people where you don't get that? That's why the Bible is saying, son, be careful. Be careful. It's out there. It's everywhere out there. It's everywhere out there. Now, here's something the Lord dealt with me about. I don't make a big deal about it because you can do what you want to. I don't know about you. I'm after that hundredfold. How many of you know that your natural tendency is not going to be anywhere near hundredfold? Did you know that? It's going to take a commitment to tie yourself to what God said and to go opposite, you know, like that t-shirt. You got all those ugly fish going that one way, and then that one fish going the opposite way, going against the flow, right? Isn't that the godly life? If you're after receiving God's blessings in your life, in your family, in your job, in your marriage, in your children, in your ministry. If you're after that, then let me tell you how to get it. Tie yourself to the principles of God's Word. Stand on them, believe them, get them in your ears, get them in your heart, and don't let anything else in, and walk in it, and it'll come to pass. It's just that simple. But it's not easy. Because this whole world has trained us to be involved and connected at various levels and allow other things into our hearts. Now, let me tell you what the Lord dealt with me about. Because I was seeking, I was going after Him. And I was in prayer every day about this. I had this big closet in my room. I'd go in there and cry and say, God, you got to show me what to do here. I mean, I'm begging God. I got a Bible on my lap saying, speak to me, God. Talk, I just want you to talk to me. You know, here's His word right here. Talk to me. You know, I knew, but I didn't know. You know what I mean? I knew this was, well, thank God, He began to speak to me through this. Here's what He said to me. And it's these scriptures. It wasn't like I heard some audible voice. I heard it through these words. He said, don't allow anything else into your ears. See, secular music, gone. Bye. Why? Because those people, somebody said, well, that's a good song. Listen to that tune. I'm telling you, there are some good tunes out there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that music is not good. I'm just saying the preaching that is coming through that music, because that's what it is counsel from ungodly people, giving you their perspective, their viewpoints on life. And what do? We sing it right along with them. Singing the words, right? Because we've heard it so much and it comes in, we're singing the words. Where's it going? In our heart, out of our mouth, we're mouthing the words. What's going on? Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is speaking. And Jesus said, your life is what you say. The Lord began to deal with me about that. And said, so, you know what? My biggest problem was my own mouth. My biggest problem was my own mouth. Of course, the problem was in the heart. James goes through and says, your body's going to follow your tongue. Right? You want to know why you have problems with your flesh? Your flesh is following your mouth. I heard people, I know people, can't figure out why they've got a problem with chocolate. You know what they're saying? Their problem is not eating chocolate. You know what their problem is? Their biggest problem is walking around saying, oh, chocolate's my downfall. I love chocolate. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the absolute truth. James says, isn't that what James says? Your body will follow your tongue, your mouth. We walk around, we say, oh, that's my downfall. I love French fries. I love, and you talk about it. That's one of your biggest issues is you are listening to yourself. James says, like a bit in a horse's mouth, whichever way the bit goes, the whole body goes. Get your mouth. God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to walk according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success after that, after you keep it in your mouth, and after you keep the word in your heart, not before. Okay, so put away from you a perverse mouth. Now I want to show you another verse in Proverbs chapter 17 while we're here. And look at verse 20. Proverbs 17 verse 20. It says, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good. Now notice this last part. And he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. Here's something the Lord taught me. The Lord said, you got to stop all those sexual comments. Now, you know what? Tell you the truth, I didn't realize how much they came out of my mouth. Because I wasn't a person that wanted to be an ungodly person. But it was just had become so much a part of my surroundings and the school that I was in and everybody, you know, just the locker room talk. You know, you play football, you wrestle, just the locker room talk. You don't realize how much it gets into your ears and into your heart, and you're just always making those little comments. Ah, this and that. Oh, yeah, you know. They're just coming out all the time. What's that called? Perverse tongue. You're not talking about sexual things in a proper way, in a godly way. You've always got something and you're going over the line. So what does it say? He who has a perverse tongue falls. He who has a perverse tongue falls. Into what? Into evil. You end up doing and falling for what you said. Falling into that trap. How'd that come out of your mouth? Out of the abundance of the heart. See, James says all this. If you read chapter 3, he says, your body follows your tongue. It's just like a bit in a horse's mouth. Whichever way the bit goes, the horse goes. Just like a rudder on a ship. The rudder, that little bitty rudder on the back of a boat or a ship, guides the whole boat or the ship. And then he turns right around and says, but no man can tame the tongue. Well, why'd you tell us all that then, if no man can tame the tongue? Didn't he say that? It's an unruly evil. Unruly. You cannot tame it. Well, why are you telling us that? Because the problem is not the tongue. The problem is the heart. You can't take your tongue out and spank it and make it work right. Isn't that right? Your tongue is only saying what's on the inside. Your tongue is only saying what you're thinking. Isn't that right? So what you've got to do is change what you're thinking. You can't change the tongue. You've got to change the thought process. And then you'll end up talking. How many of you know you get a new hobby or you get into something and because you're thinking about it, you start talking about it. See why? Because it got into your heart. Well, that's what he's saying. He's saying, son, if you can get my words in there, if you can spend time to get my words into your heart, that'll start coming out of your mouth. And as it comes out of your mouth, it'll produce in your life. I started doing this with all areas of my life. I just cut out all secular stuff. I just stopped hanging around people that talk perverse. And every time I start to have, how many of you know your mind doesn't change overnight? And somebody say, I'm going to do this. And you're just like, I almost said, and sometimes I didn't, and you're trying to, I'm sorry, God, because your mind still thinks that way. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I'm not talking about unbelievers now. I'm talking about Christians making those comments. I was a Christian. I'm going to church. I'm loving God. I'm headed toward ministry. But yet, I've just been around a little bit too much of worldly people, ungodliness. See? It's just the music coming in. So I just cut all of that out. Bye. Gone. And it took a while before my mind got to the place where I don't think like that anymore. I don't think that perverse way anymore. In fact, to tell you how I think, a lot of people bring up something. What I'm thinking, that's just what the Word says. See, I've spent a lot of time in this book. That's just, and the Word just comes to my mind. That's the Word. I just think, a lot of times I don't even say anything because it'll embarrass the person. Well, I know why you're going through that. I can hear it coming out of your mouth right now. You know what I mean? I mean, just the principles of the Word start coming. I see it right there. They're readily, and of course, we don't want to be judgmental, but sometimes it's just obvious because the Bible says, he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. Somebody said, I can't figure out why I can't get rid of this lust. Huh? See? So when Jesus says, son, take heed what you hear, he's not only saying, take heed to the Bible, he's also saying, pay attention to what's going into your ears. Because that stuff will choke the Word. See, you want closeness with your family, but yet you listen to the way ungodly people relate to family. And you end up relating that way and can't figure out why it won't work the way that God said it'll work. It's because you're not doing it right. You're not communicating correctly. You're not walking in love. You're walking in selfishness. I began to talk, in fact, this was before I got married that I saw into all this. Well, by the time I got married, I knew how to talk. I wasn't going to talk like other husbands talked about their wives. The old lady and this and that, and just always bagging and down. I'll tell you what I do to this day. Not ashamed, don't do it out loud all the time. The enemy would try to get me, look at that lady over there. Look at that. I'll just say it out loud. Shh, you kidding? Why would I look at something else? I've got the best, the top of the line, I'm telling you. See, somebody said, you're brainwashing yourself. Mm-hmm. I am. with the truth. Because there's nobody better for me than my wife. There's nobody that will fulfill me more than my wife. Not anybody. Even if it looks like they would, it's not true. You think they would. Oh, I can tell they would. You think. You think they would. How many of you know things look real good at first, right? And after you get in there a while, you realize that ain't what I thought it was. That ain't what it looked like. Isn't that true? Well, you could have found that out from the Bible instead of walking it out in the flesh. Found out. Let me tell you, there's nobody better than your spouse for you. There's nobody. Somebody said, yeah, but there's too much water under the bridge. We've already done. No. Nope. Nobody better. Nope. God will take that and repair it right up. If you can get yourselves in line with His Word, begin to get the Word into your heart, and to begin to speak right. I was with a pastor, a great pastor. Christy, you might know Ron Swor. You know who Ron Swor is? This guy is an awesome pastor. He's just a little guy. He's about this big. He's a great young pastor. But I was with him, and we were just talking, and I said, where's Annette? Where's your wife? She's out of town. He said, this would happen. He said, I just got back into town. He said, I'm looking forward to seeing my wife. He said, I put her picture on the visor. He said, I'm driving back. He said, for the last 2 hours, I just keep glancing over the picture. I can't wait to get hold of that woman, you know. And I said, that's it. That's what God showed me. Get your mouth in line with the Word. See, somebody says, I remember there was a guy in our church. And he said this. He said, yeah, I don't think it's going to work out with, I won't tell you their names. I'll change the name. He said, I don't think it's going to work out with Sally and I. And I said, well, why not? I'm just not attracted to her like I used to be. I said, listen. Love her. Yeah, I know, but, you know, I just don't have that feeling. No, listen to what I'm saying. Love her. Speak love to her. Well, yeah, but I just don't feel the same. No, you're missing what I'm saying. Take what the Bible says about a wife and speak it to her and about her all the time. Don't speak like other people speak. Speak the Word of God about her all the time. Isn't that what the Bible says? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her that He might cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. Right? Somebody says, yeah, but I'm having problems with it. Yeah, you know how you clean her up? You know how you get her going the right direction? Speak the Word about her. Talk to her as if she's a woman of God. Yeah, but how many of you know this takes discipline, doesn't it? It takes discipline to believe God's Word. Well, he said, yeah, but she's gained some weight and, 10 pounds. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yeah, she just gained, here we go, gained some. And so he said, I'm just not attracted to her anymore. Well, I tell you what happened. He had met some little skinny person at work. And he got attracted. So he began to say this about his wife. Well, I'm just not, man. And he'd tell her, why don't you just lose some weight? He'd just say those things. Well, he ended up leaving, going with this other lady, ended up miserable, lost his family, lost his respect, lost his reputation, and ended up hating this other lady. Hey, you know why? It's like Proverbs says, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. What does that mean, a ring of gold in a swine's snout? See, we only see the outside. We just see the Proverbs says, no, that outside that you're looking at is like a ring of gold in a pig's nose. It is so small compared to the pig that it's attached to. You understand? Look at that ring. It's got a pig on the other end of that thing. Yeah, but that's a fine ring. Proverbs says, hey. Proverbs says you don't realize. How many of you know the more important part of the relationship is not just that external appearance? Man, this thing, relationships run deep. Once you get in there, let me tell you, somebody will flat make you miserable. They might have been good looking at first, but they will make your life hell. See? So you got to stay with the truth. Stay with the truth. So see, I just begin to speak about my wife all the time. You see, the enemy has a hard time bringing anybody else into the picture and check this out. Check that out. Nothing. You ain't. Don't you know my wife? You got to be kidding. Come in strutting that nasty stuff in here. Tell you, and let me tell you how I think, too. I'll tell you how I think. I see death all over that. I see death all over that. See, my mind. Why is that? Because the word. People that come in looking or trying to attract my attention, I see death. I see death to my relationship with my wife, my best friend in the world. I see death all over that. Isn't that right? And it looks like, whoa, that could be fun for a little while. That's death to me. I see death to my kids. Huh? My kids, who I tell all the time, God loves you, and I want them to believe me. God's got a plan for you. Daddy loves mommy, and then daddy goes and does something else. What does that say? Now my kids got to go through things. See, that's death to me. Yeah, but she really, we just connect. We just really, I mean, we even say the same things at the same time. It's just, I think it's God. Death. Death. What about all those teenagers? Thousands of teenagers all over the United States you've been talking to about the blessings of marriage and God bless. What is it? It's death, because now these teenagers will hear what happened with you and they'll say, oh, see there, I'm not sticking to it. See, that's death. See, that's the truth, isn't it? It's death. See, when you get into the Word and you allow the Word to change the way you see things, you'll see that's death. That's death. See, in my life as a pastor, that's death to this ministry. That'd just be death, wouldn't it? Just death spread all over the place. Affects everybody. Why? Because see, everybody's looking to me to bring forth God's word and be honest and integrous about this thing. And see, then you go off and do something like that. Doesn't mean that you weren't honest, but the devil just takes it, just blows it all apart. See, to just kill, just... And don't you know that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Isn't that right? He just come in and steal, death, death, death. See, we don't realize that. Well, that gets into our mouth, even though we don't actually do anything physically. It can get into your mind and get into your mouth. You just begin to say, she's good looking. Just, and I know, I can look but not touch. You see that? What scripture is that? You know what Job says? Job says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look at a young woman? I'm in covenant with these eyes. You understand? I stood and made a covenant, vows with these eyes. Think it's a blessing to my wife if I say, honey, I'm just looking. I'm not going to touch. I'm just, wow, I'm just looking. Honey, you ought to have seen her. I'm just looking. Oh, that's really going to bless her. Isn't that going to bless her? Isn't that going to make her feel like she's wonderful in my life? No. No. But how many of you know that if you're not careful, we'll all fall into those tendencies and traps? Maybe even the subtle ones where you don't think they're seeing you. Look, they see you. They know. They see you. What does that do? It kills. It destroys. Because you're saying, you are the one that I want. You, baby. You. I'm not you, Micah. But can you see that? So what is Jesus saying? Take heed to what you hear. Don't stand around while they're talking that trash. And that's one of the other things that about secular music. They talk about love in a way that is not the truth. It puts it in a wrong light. Just their philosophy, their approach to love It is not a godly love. It's always. Now, when I say always, I know that there are probably songs that may have a decent perspective. But I'm telling you, the vast majority are coming from a sensual perspective that is flesh-pleasing. And let me tell you something. Love in a relationship, love with your children, that's going to work and produce the kind of relational results that you want, are not principles that are founded on pleasing yourself. They're principles that are founded on blessing that other person and loving them and making sure that they are taken care of. That goes for both husbands and wives. Isn't that true? Husbands and wives. See that? Well, that all has to do with the Word. See, that's why I see Mark chapter 4 deals with everything, every area of your life. And the enemy doesn't want you to see it according to the Word. So he gets it out of your heart. Deals with finances. Deals with health. He wants you to see it the way the world sees it. He wants you to see it the way the wimpy Christians see it. Well, you know, bless God. I know the Bible says it and everything, but you know, I just trust God. If he wants to heal me, that's fine. If he doesn't want to heal me, that's okay. I know he's trustworthy. See what happened? You're off the promises. Now you're saying that God might not do what he said. See, Mark chapter 4 deals with every area of our lives. So how do we reap a hundredfold? Stay with what it said. Just stick with it. Stick with the Word. And get that perversity out of your mouth. Get that. Don't go there. I don't go there anymore. Nope, don't go there. Don't go there. See? And I told you a few weeks ago, before I left, I don't go into the racial area either. I don't go. Now, how many of you know different cultures, there are just flat funny things? Isn't that true? There are flat funny things. But how many of you know that the vast majority of funnies are hurtful things too? And see, it may not be hurtful to you, and you may think, well, I didn't say anything. Yeah, but you know what? That makes somebody else feel like you think that they're inferior. Does that make sense? See, it's not about how we think or see it. It's about how they see it. See, that's why my wife and I both, you know what? We, even though there are some funny things, and every once in a while we'll say something funny about different cultures or whatever, because it is true. You know, like, for example, you know, my wife will tell me, you know, take your shoes off for you. Hey, what, you know? I'm not Asian. You don't take my shoes off out here. Well, you know what? They do. That's a cultural thing, okay? But how many of you know you can take even something like that and really get over into being racial with it? And all it is, you know, they have cleaner carpets than we do. You understand what I'm saying? See, we're not trying to be legalistic here and say, don't you say anything, don't you say. No, how many of you know we can have fun with each other? But we've got to be careful with what comes out of our mouth. Because you think it comes out, oh, I don't have anything. You're always telling those jokes. I'm not. Yeah, it's coming out of your heart though. You always got it coming out of your heart. Why? Because it's down in there. If you're talking about it, it's down in there. Right? Well, I was just joking. See, one of my biggest downfalls used to be, I just like to have fun. I just like to joke. All the time. And sometimes that humor just gets me in trouble. Just joking about things. See, and sometimes you can jest or do things that just hurt people. It was funny. Everybody laughed. And that person kind of giggled and they walked away and that hurt their feelings. How many of you know it's not worth the laugh? Isn't that true? It's not worth it. No, we got to keep God's word in our hearts. Amen. Well, I had no idea where we're headed tonight, but how? Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. How many of you know the Holy Spirit knows what to deal with? I didn't intend to go all up into the lust area and such, but I tell you what, I remember very well when the enemy was hitting my mind and saying, you will not be free. You're a typical guy, and you will not be free from this. But yet the Bible said, if you continue in my word, you will be my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then he goes on a little bit later in that chapter, in John chapter 8, and he says, and whom the Son sets free, yes, Free indeed. Don't you like that? Amen. Amen. Let's thank God for His Word tonight. Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for speaking to our hearts and dealing with our lives. And we receive Your Word into our hearts right now. We plant it right down in. We say, God, we receive it. Go ahead, tell the Lord. Say, God, I receive Your Word into my heart. The truth of Your Word. I receive it into my life to live it out, to walk it out. And I thank You that it will grow up and produce 100-fold and bring blessing to me and other people around me. Thank God. Father, I thank You for all of those in here who the enemy has ravaged their lives in any way. I thank You that Your Word can bring that and restore that right up to where it needs to be. Thank God. Your Word says, I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. So we thank You for doing that. I thank You that Your Word says that You will make the crooked path straight. I appreciate that. So, Father, I thank You that as we go today, that the Holy Spirit would remind us of these things that Jesus is teaching us and help us to think and meditate and speak in line with God's Word and not out of line with His Word. And, Father, as we bring friends for Sunday, first of all, show us who. Help us to bring a lot of people to know Your love and Your plan for their lives. We know that You love them far more than they could ever realize. Give us the wisdom and lead us and give us the boldness to bring them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, do this. Give somebody a hug and say, hey, God's got a good plan for your life. Tell them right now. Come on. Give somebody a hug. God's got a good plan for your life.